Thanks for joining us. You can always catch the latest sermon online, but we sure would love to see you join us in person to celebrate and support each other in our love for God, our neighbors, and this church. We are South Britain Congregational Church. No matter who you are or where you are on life's journey, you are welcome here. And now, enjoy another great Sunday sermon, and we hope to see you soon.
This summer, we're looking at the Ten Commandments. In the Bible, they're actually not called commandments. They're called words or utterances, the ten words, the ten utterances. They're like foundational principles, first principles for all the legislation that comes afterwards. And today we're going to look at the first three of the commandments. And you might think, you know, why start out with God? Ten commandments start out with God. Why do that? Here I'm editing a lot just for time's sake. But God spoke all these words. He said, I am the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery. In other words, this is a God who has brought freedom and liberation to them. And I would put almost therefore in thanksgiving and gratitude. You shall have no gods except me. You shall not make yourself a graven image. You shall not utter the name of the Lord your God in vain or to misuse it. Remember the Sabbath to keep it holy. Honor your father and mother so that you may have long life in the land that the Lord your God has given to you. You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not bear false witness against your neighbor. You shall not covet. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Amen. Do you know any good rules for living? That's the question Peppermint Patty asked last week. Do you know any good rules for living? And I think on Father's Day, it's a good question for us to think about again. What kind of values do we want for ourselves and our families? What kind of people would we hope to be? Patty and I try to catch Shields and Brooks on public television on Friday nights. I don't know if any of you watch those interviews and discussions. But David Brooks is a columnist for The Times, and he wrote a piece some time ago where he made a very famous distinction. And he was talking about his moral bucket list. And he said there are two kinds of virtues. There are the virtues that we raise when we are applying for a job. And those are virtues of knowledge and experience and leadership and so forth. But he said there's a second list of virtues. And these are the virtues that people hopefully say about us at our funeral. And that's bravery, kindness, loving, honest, and so forth. And David Brooks made the point that we're often more at ease, or we're more clear about the professional virtues, our ability to carry out the job. We're more at ease and clear about talking about them than about the virtues in here, the moral compass, the qualities of character in here. And yet he said those moral qualities, those moral virtues of kindness and love and faithfulness and so forth, are just as important as the qualifications we have for a job. And I've mentioned this man before, I had a church member who had a plant in Danbury, and he made very sophisticated parts for helicopters. And I remember standing by his desk and picking up a metal piece from his desk. And he said, "You better put that down. It's worth thousands of dollars." But what he made a very telling comment. He said, "I can teach anybody the job. I can teach anybody the job. But what I need is an honest person. What I need is an honest person." He liked to hire church people. I think the Ten Commandments are a very good basis as we begin to think about the virtues and moral qualities of our own lives and the kind of people we're really striving to be. And today we come to the first third, or the first three of the commandments. And again, they deal with God, interestingly enough. And they are, "You shall have no other gods, no gods before me. You shall not make for yourself idols, graven images. And you shall not take the name of the Lord in vain or to misuse it." Now let's look at the first two of those. "You shall not have other gods before me, and you shall not create for yourself graven images." What has that got to do with us? I think in the ancient world we know there are all kinds of gods around. There's Zeus and Aphrodite and Mars and Moloch and Baal, and they're just endless. And you remember when Moses came down from Sinai with the Ten Commandments. He comes down twice, remember that. He comes down the first time with the Ten Commandments. And what are the people doing? In his absence, they have created a golden calf to worship. And just in anger, he slams that first copy of the Ten Commandments to the ground and shatters them. People in the ancient world worshipped all kinds of things. You know, there were rain gods and sacred trees. There were stone idols and all the rest of it. You see those in museums. And the question I think for us to struggle with today, in our own way, do we also have our idols? Does this command apply to us as idol makers too? Because an idol can be anything. It can be a good thing that we just apply too much importance to. It can be, you know, money. It can be prestige. It can be power. It can be our job. It can be virtually anything that is quite good in its own right. And yet we stumble when we make it the end and be all of our lives. And when we fall into the problem of making idols for ourselves and putting perhaps good things, but overdoing it and putting it in the place of God, there are consequences. And I've always liked a statement that Ralph Waldo Emerson made from our own American history. And it strikes me as being very true. He says, "The gods we worship write their names on our faces. Be sure of that. That which dominates our imagination and thoughts will determine our life and character." Let me read that again. that which dominates our imagination and thoughts will determine our life and character. Therefore, it behooves us to be careful what we are worshiping, for what we are worshiping, we are becoming. Watch out what we put in the central place of our lives. I just happened to see a rerun on television of a movie called The Big Short. Do you remember that movie? It was about the financial crisis of 2008. And it started out with a bunch of people saying, "Let's make money." And there's an interview there with a banker, where the banker is saying, "Sure, I sold people mortgages that I know they'll never be able to pay off. And I made a lot of money at it, and I have a boat in the lake to prove it." And the interviewer is talking with another person after this, and the person says, "Gosh, you know, I'm surprised that that man would confess this." And the interviewer says, "He wasn't confessing. He was bragging. He was bragging." Now, these were people who bet, and there are two people in the movie who really make out from the crisis. But what did they do? They bet that those mortgages would fail. That's what they had their money on. They had their money against the American economic system. And they were willing to make money from what they knew would be other people's pain. Now, money is something good. We all need it. We all need it to live. But when we put it in the wrong place, when we just give too much importance to it, that movie shows an example of what fraud and greed and dishonesty can do to a person's soul, really. "You shall have no gods before me. You shall not make for yourself graven images." Anything, even good stuff, can be given more importance than it should have in our lives. And then it warps us. "You shall have no gods before me, no graven images. You shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain. You shall not misuse it." That's often regarded as the hardest, believe it or not, this is often regarded as the hardest of all the commandments, because it's often interpreted to mean don't swear. Okay? There's a story of Michelangelo, you know, the great artist, and he's painting the ceiling of the Sistine Chapel way up high. He's painting, and suddenly the paintbrush slips out of his hand and falls way down below. And he says, "God damn it." Now, just at that time, a nun happened to be walking along down below. And as Michelangelo came down the ladder, she sort of took him to task. She said, "This is a chapel. You don't talk like that in here. If something happens and you feel you have to say something, say, 'Heaven saves, heaven saves.'" So Michelangelo started climbing back up the ladder to the top, where he was painting, and he had his paintbrush. But as he was coming up the ladder, it lost traction and started to slip. And he realized, if I fall, this is going to be a fatal fall. And then he realized again what the nun had told him. And so he said, "Heaven saves, heaven saves." And then all of a sudden, the ladder shifted a bit and caught traction and held. And the nun down below said, "I'll be damned." Now that's a cautionary tale. Don't swear. That's supposed to say. Yeah. Because you know there are times when those words just come from us. But you know we're misusing God and misusing what God does. God doesn't go around damning people. Okay. Now, there are other meanings that can be given to this command. You know, don't use God's name in vain. And William Barclay, who's an old Bible commentator, said that taking God's name too loosely, too lightly, too frivolously can have its consequences. He said, think of some of the basic promises we make in life. We promise when we're married to be faithful to one another. We promise when our kids are baptized to bring them up in the Christian faith. When we take communion, we promise to walk the talk. And he says, in those situations, when we misuse the name of God, because we're doing all that in the name of God, when we're misusing the name of God in those situations, we're undermining everything. We're undermining what we stand for. Let me reread again those words from which I have mislaid. Here we are. From Ralph Waldo Emerson. The gods we worship write their names on our faces. Be sure of that. That which dominates our imagination and thoughts will determine our life and character. Therefore, it behooves us to be careful what we are worshiping, and what we are worshiping, we're becoming, we're picking up those qualities. This is a God we're dealing with who has brought his people out of slavery, out of bondage, to freedom. This is a God who cares how we deal with one another. Be continued.